The gun that shook Elizabeth, New Jersey, was roughly the size of a new baby, 8.5 pounds unloaded and 23.2 inches long without its stock. In less than a minute, it could spit out 800 bullets if you could feed it ammunition fast enough. It was without a doubt an impressive little killing machine. Sleek, compact, and efficient, the Thompson submachine gun was a new kind of weapon for modern times, developed by a career Army man dedicated to providing U.S. soldiers with proper arms and ammunition. But the gun also had a heritage, descending from an expanding line of powerful military firearms. Probably its most direct ancestor was the Gatling gun, the first truly workable machine gun capable of rapid and regular fire. Just after the Civil War began, Richard Jordan Gatling, a medical doctor, developed his gun with the hope that it could save lives. He later wrote to a friend, "It occurred to me that if I could invent a machine, a gun, which could by rapidity of fire enable one man to do as much battle duty as 100, that it would, to a great extent, supersede the necessity of large armies. That, Gatling thought, would greatly reduce the number of men who died on the battlefield from injuries and exposure to diseases." The early Gatling gun was an ingenious and deceptively simple design. 6 barrels were clustered in a tight circle. Initially weighing more than 200 pounds, it sat like a miniature cannon between 2 large wheels and typically was pulled by horses or mules. Several men worked together to operate it, turning a crank that allowed it to load ammunition, fire, and load the next barrel, dispatching as many as 200 bullets a minute. The multiple barrels meant that no one barrel overheated, allowing true continuous firing for the first time. An early sales brochure touted it as the most effective implement of warfare ever invented. Unfortunately for Gatling, the Union Army wasn't interested. One reason may have been that Gatling was born in North Carolina and was feared to be a Southern sympathizer. But there were other problems. The Army's Ordnance Department, which was responsible for weapons and ammunition, wasn't the least bit intrigued by newfangled innovations, especially one that was untested in battle. Already, dozens of different weapons were in use. And since the machine gun was the size of a little cannon, it was seen as a piece of artillery, something that should fire big ammunition from a long range far from the front lines. But this one just spit out little bullets, and it jammed easily. Even more, military leaders deeply distrusted such bullet-spewing machines. A machine gun ran counter to all battlefield tradition. Where was the glory, the heroism, the courage in turning a crank? In the next century, wars would be waged with big bombs, long-range missiles, and drones. But in Gatling's day, military men believed that war should be fought by men, not machines. A couple of wealthy and forward-thinking Union soldiers bought several Gatling guns themselves and used them in battle. But the Army didn't officially adopt the gun until 1866, after the war ended. The Gatling gun wasn't formally tested in an American battle until 1898. That February, the USS Maine exploded in Cuba's Havana harbor. The disaster was blamed on Spain, which controlled Cuba, Guam, Puerto Rico, and the Philippines. In April, the United States declared war, marking the official start of the Spanish-American War.